If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 7, we'll look in just a minute. But I'd like to just reflect a little bit upon the last two or three weeks that we've experienced here in South Georgia. What we've experienced is nothing been compared to what others have experienced a little bit east of here in Valdosta, up in North Carolina, the Carolinas, with all the flooding, the deaths that have occurred. And oftentimes people wonder, what's God doing? Why does he do that? There's some good people. I'm sure there's some good people that lost their lives. I'm sure there were some good people that lost their homes. You said, how do you explain that? I don't explain it except to say that God is in control of all things, and we just have to trust him. But one of the things that we think about is Milton came through last week or this week, went on into the Carolinas, and literally people's houses were sliding down mudslides. I heard of people that they couldn't find. In fact, I heard there was hundreds that they haven't even found yet. We often look at that, and again, we all are grateful. We were all praying that that hurricane would turn. Helene, that's what I'm talking about now, would turn before it got to us. But you know, why the people over there, or why did they deserve it, which I don't believe they deserved any more than anybody else, but God's just been good to us. We ought to be thankful, and I don't know, but I tell people all the time, one day something's going to happen, and it's going to be bad, and we're not going to be used to it because we've been spared and we've been spoiled. But yet today, the whole key of the message today is not the hurricanes that we've experienced and the mudslides we've endured, but I want to talk to you today about the warnings that was given. We find the pricelessness of warnings. Warnings are wonderful. In fact, we find that warnings, they have lightning detectors. We go to the ball field to watch Levi play. If the lightning detector goes on, that means get in your car. Get away from everything else and go to your car, and then they'll signal you when the time has come. But 9 out of 10 times, if we're at a football game and the lightning signal goes off, very few people get up and leave. The rest of them just sit there. I've sat there a little while myself, and after a while, I got my better senses and went on. But warnings are to expect action. And yet we sit and we listen to the warnings go, and technology has gotten so good. You know, I tell you, we pretty much knew exactly where that thing was coming. Both of them, when they come in, we knew where they were going to land. They might have been off a little bit here, off a little bit there. But I tell you, day by day, hour by hour, we were glued to our televisions watching as the rains were coming, the storms were coming, not knowing what to expect. But we had warnings. I think about the people down in Florida. We have friends down there. I was assistant pastor there for a little while. And in fact, they've come here and stayed on a couple of hurricanes, one hurricane particularly. But they were down in Bradenton, Florida. And fortunately, they made it through all right, and they did not leave, but they were more inward. They were not on the coast. But what I understood DeSantis say the other day, and I know this was strange, it might have been only in one place. But he said, I think it was one of the islands, he said, we had 100% evacuation. What a wonderful thing is when people hear the warning and heed the warning and get out. That's 100. How many other people live there? That's how many were saved that day because they left town. Called one of my friends down there the other day, and they were just returning to their house. When I called, they were turning in the driveway, and there was trees down all around their house and across their back porch. And again, they heeded the warning. They left town. They was not going to jeopardize their life for that. But the problem is, warnings, people ignore them. This couldn't happen to me, but it did. And yet today, many people that have suffered because of it was because they did not heed the warning. In our text this morning, I want to speak to you about a warning that must not be ignored. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, I'll begin reading in verse number 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Our Father, Lord, tonight we're thankful this morning for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, we pray for those who are affected by the storm. Lord, we pray for families today that are broken. Families that many have not even been found yet. And Lord, today I pray that you'd comfort their heart and strengthen them. We don't understand all the reasoning behind everything that goes on, but we understand the one who's in control of all things. And Lord, we know that you doeth well. And I pray today that you would anoint my lips. Lord, just fill me with your spirit. Give me the words, the wisdom, the help that I need in order that I might preach a message that would not only be just another message, but it would be a message that would change our lives, because, Lord, maybe we would start listening to the warning. And Lord, today I pray, as we read the scripture, it was a vast warning. It was a warning that was very, very plain and very, very hard and difficult. But today I pray that you'd help us with it. Guide and direct, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Can I say to you today that Jesus has been giving out a warning for all the time that I've been in this world, all the time that you've been in this world. In fact, it's from the very beginning of time. He's warned us time and time again. We say Jesus is coming, but somebody says, when is he coming? I don't know the day or the hour, but I know one day he's coming. And I believe with all my heart, if you want to look at all the other things going on, I believe that God has not only given us the warning in the Word of God, but we're seeing the warning right before our eyes to understand the truth of what we need to do in order that we're right with God when the time comes that he comes. We first of all see the definiteness of death. We see in Hebrews chapter 9:27, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to go to hell. I want you to know this morning I'm not going to hell, because I've done what the Lord told me to do. I've called upon his name. He saved me by his grace, and one day he's coming back for me. And could I say to you today, nobody in this building today has to go to hell. Nobody in this world, I believe, has to go to hell. We have a free choice to do what we ought to do, what we need to do. But it's appointed unto man whether we die in a hurricane, or whether we die in our sleep, or whether we die because of a heart attack, or whatever it might be, all of us will face eternity at that moment, and there will be one or two places that we'll spend. First of all, we need to escape hell. Second of all, those that are saved are going to enter heaven. I tell you, heaven's a wonderful place. You know, we come to church, and I tell you, yesterday, I know some of you got so excited over them ball games. I tell you, some of you probably got real aggravated, and then some of you got real happy, and there was so much emotion. But we come to the house of God, and we preach about heaven and hell. Ain't too many people get excited about it. Now, I'm not accusing you today. I don't know how excited you are, but I'm talking about, you know, maybe showing a little bit, like an amen or hallelujah. It'd be all right with me. But we find here that we're going to enter into heaven. I tell you, heaven's getting sweeter all the time. Somebody wrote a song about that. The reason heaven's getting sweeter all the time is because most of my family's there now. Most of my immediate family, my mother and my dad, my two sisters, they're there. And I'm looking forward one day to seeing them again. But I got a son there. And I'm looking one day to seeing him. And I tell you today, I love to hear about heaven, but I couldn't stand the thought today if I did not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was saved and born again. This is going to be a different message this morning, but I'm going to tell you, I don't care today whether you've been in church all your life. It doesn't matter to me how long you've been saved. All I'm going to say is examine yourself and be sure you're saved and be sure you've heeded the warning, because just like the people, the sheriff told one of them the other day, he said, evacuate, and if you don't evacuate, we're not coming to get you till after the storm. We're not going to jeopardize our life to come get you. And Jesus Christ has already jeopardized his life on the cross of Calvary for our sin, and he's not going to continue to give us the opportunity to be saved unless we heed and listen to his word. The first thing we notice in the scripture today, in verse 21, is the solemnness of preaching. Notice the solemnness. Not everyone that saith unto me. So he said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's two things we see here. Understand, everybody is not going to heaven. Did you hear me? I said, everybody's not going to heaven. Now, I wish that be the case. And if it was left up to me, I would want everybody to go to heaven. But everybody's not going to heaven. So that means some are going to die and go to hell. Now, who are they? They're those that have failed to heed the warning. They're those who have failed to listen to what God is about to say. We find here he's left us his word. He's left us the Bible. He's left us a warning signal. Every time we come to church, the warning light ought to be going off. Listen, am I born again? Am I saved? Am I serving? Am I doing what I need to do? We said this is the statement he made. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now, there's several things we need to be warned about. If you're here today and you're saved, then and you know you're saved, then just trust in the Lord and believe that, and surely enough, when you die, you'll wake up in heaven. But today, if you don't know you're saved, you need to be sure you're saved. And the only way to do that is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and call upon His name and ask Him to come into your heart and save you. However, He's given us His word. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There you may be also. I'm glad today that He left us those words. He said, I'm going away, but I'm coming again. I tell you, He came to me in salvation, but one day He's coming to me to take me home to be in heaven. Now again, reflect. We sympathize. We feel for the people in North Carolina, don't we? We can't imagine. And people in Valdosta and people around. I saw a lady in Valdosta's store yesterday. She was telling me how bad it was. And we grieve with them. But yet, we'll sit in church, hear the word of God, and maybe even know that we've never been saved. But we refuse to heed the warning. And as a result of that, one day, if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I can do is tell it to you as plain as it is. He didn't mince any words in His. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the good news, them that doeth the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God that is everybody be saved and born again. The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know today that salvation is open to all who will come. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Then we see the exhibition of His will. It was Herschel Ford in a book that he wrote this. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, I've often flown over the Mississippi River and looked down upon it. He said, the Mississippi River is winding and it's crooked. Sometimes it flows north, sometimes it flows west. But the general trend of the river is southward. And finally, it comes to the Gulf of Mexico and the river flows into that. He said the Christian life is like that. It begins at Calvary. It begins at Calvary, and that's the only place it begins. And it flows toward heaven, but sometimes it flows in the opposite direction. Sometimes it flows and goes over into Satan's territory. Why? Because if we're saved, we're still not perfect. Amen? We still sin. And any man that says he doesn't, according to the Bible, not me, but the Bible said he's a liar. The Bible tells us basically that we are all sinners. And sometimes even doing the will of God, we flow to the left or we flow to the right. But we're all headed to the same place if we've been saved and born again. I have somebody tell me one time, it doesn't matter what you believe, we're all headed to the same place. Excuse me, it does matter what you believe. You better believe the word of God because there's only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the devotion of a real Christian life is toward the will of God. If you're here this morning, and I have no reason to believe that most people, if not all the people here, are saved. I have no reason not to believe that you're saved this morning, but if you are, you ought to be desiring to do the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done in our lives. The desire of every real Christian today ought to be to go to heaven. And it ought not to want to get there. I hear some people say, well, if I get there, I'll get there by the skin of my teeth. No, you won't. You'll either get there or you won't get there. Ain't going to be no skin of the teeth to it. It's going to be a matter of a confession, a repentance, and believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ for what He does. But here's the surprising thing about it. We saw there, he said, not everyone, but in verse 2, he goes a step further, 22. He said, verse 22, many will say. So what does that tell us? Well, we know that there's more going to hell than there is heaven. How do you know that? Because he told us in his word, he said, the narrow road leads to destruction, the wide road leads to life everlasting. So we know that. But yet here, the surprise that may come to these people that he was speaking to, and remember, he was speaking to a very hard crowd and different ones that they were trying to work their way to heaven, trying to do what they could do so they could get there. But here he comes to them, and He tells them, he that doeth the will of my Father. But then he said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. Do you know that a preacher can die and go to hell? If he's not preaching the truth of the word of God and he's never accepted Christ as his Savior, every preacher, surely the first requirement ought to be that he's been born again, that he's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If he wasn't, then what good could he do to others if he's trying to tell them if he don't know within himself? That's why we preachers have to examine ourselves and to be careful, to be sure that we're in the faith. Do you know that not all Sunday school teachers are going to heaven? I wish they were, and as far as I know, I pray all of our Sunday school teachers are, but do you know it's possible, is what I'm saying, it's possible to teach Sunday school and not go to heaven. It's possible to go through your life, and you've heard it preached, but you say, well, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I've never done too many bad things. I think I'm going to be all right. It don't cut it when the Lord comes back, because there's not going to be a second chance. There's not going to be anybody to come to your rescue. He's already came. He's here to rescue you. And today you need to heed the warning. And those people that didn't heed the warning, those people in North Carolina, I would venture to say that I probably would not have heeded it either, because everything looked good. They haven't had anything like that in years and years and years. And they probably surely thought being on that mountain they was going to be all right. But who knew that those floodwaters was going to come in and literally wipe out towns? But thank God for those who did evacuate, those who did heed the warning, because today they're saved. But the count is many. Here's the credentials that these people came to. They came to him and they said, he said, now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But we see here, first of all, what were the credentials they were trying to give him? They were saying, well, look at verse 22. Many should say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I guess I should have read that verse before I gave the illustration a while ago. But you know, I don't care. Listen, I've been in the ministry 50 years. Thank you for the opportunity. I've been preaching for a long, long time. But I'm going to tell you what, it don't matter how long I've been preaching. If as a little boy at 10 years old, I had not went forward and the preacher sat down with me and took the Bible and showed me what I needed to do to be saved, I'd be just as lost, and no matter what I've done, I'd die and go to hell. But by the grace of God, I know that he saved me. And he came to him and said, we prophesied in your name, Lord. Come on, please take us. I'll get to that in just a moment. Then they said, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Boy, they had done some really wonderful works. But it was all for zero, because they had not heeded the warning. It makes no difference if they had prophesied in his name. There's no difference that they cast out devil. And it made no difference that they had done many wonderful works. Great for the works. We do a lot of good works. We're going to have the clubs over at the apartments here this couple of weeks coming up. We're going to feed the football team on Friday morning. And we're going to try to minister to them. We're going to try to herald the warning. Brother Keith's going to be speaking to him. Pray for him Thursday morning. But he's going to herald the warning that they need to hear the truth of the Word of God. We're not feeding them just to feed them. We're here to get them here so they can be fed the Word of God. And I believe our outreach is so important in all we do. We're having the Fall Festival. One of the hardest things we do, one of the most difficult things we do. Keith mentioned in the past we've had anywhere between 450 and 500 people come through. And I tell you, it's a big night. But we're not there just to play games, pass out candy. We're there to give out gospel tracts, talk to people, and try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and warn them that one day he's coming back, and invite them to come to church if they don't have a place to go. And then we come to the point, he tells us in verse number 23, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. G. Campbell Morgan said, I never knew you does not mean, he said, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. G. Campbell Morgan said, I never knew you does not mean I did not know about you. Doesn't mean I don't know your name. It doesn't mean that I haven't watched your life. You took my name to make you a name. You took my name to work your miracles. You took my name for certain self-centered purposes. But you did not know me. Therefore, I do not know you. And I tell you today, if that doesn't run up down your spine, nothing else will. Because I tell you today, we've got people that are living in such a manner that it, many times they're far away from God. And even though they're living their life, they're doing it for their own benefit and own good. And again, somebody said, but preacher, people that do things that are not good, they go to heaven. Sure they do if they repent and ask the Lord to forgive them. Oh, and when they get saved, I believe you're saved forevermore. But I don't believe you can think you can go out and live like the devil and expect to be saved. If you're saved, there'll be a difference in your life. And that leads me to my last point, the surety of preparedness. It ought to have been a time in our life where we had a powerful conviction that we were lost. No man will ever go to heaven unless he first realized he is lost. You got to get a man lost before you can get him saved. I've heard people make jokes about people getting saved. People's probably made jokes about you being saved. One of the most bone-chilling remarks that I ever heard made to me was made by a man that was a friend of mine, and I'd known him for a long time. And I witnessed to him, and I tried to tell him that he needed to be saved. There was no evidence of salvation in his life. He never attended church. He belonged to a church, but he never attended church. And I tell you, one day I was visiting him, and I was talking to him. This was years ago. And I've used the illustration before, but I told him, called him by his name. And I said, you need to be saved, or you're going to die and go to hell. Do you know that you've been saved? And he laughed and said, I'm saved. He said, when I was in the war and I was in that foxhole, every time I stick my head up and them bullets would miss me, he saved me. I said, no, I think you got the wrong idea. Yeah, he saved your life, but he might have saved your life for this time right now to know that you're born again. I'm serious. This week has opened my eyes. It's broke my heart. And I thought about it. These are people that died senselessly, many of them because they did not heed the warning. And yet here I am every Sunday morning preaching to people, trying to get them to get saved. And yet they stop their ears and they don't listen. They say, well, I'm okay. Friend, you're not okay if you don't know that you're saved and been born again. A powerful conviction that'll come upon you. Whether you want to or not, we must all believe and understand that we're all sinners. The Bible very much teaches that. We need to be awakened to our condition. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible said, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to know the fact that we're a sinner. Well, actually, 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're blinded to the truth. Do you know the devil? You know what the devil's doing right now? He's trying to put blinders on your eyes and your mind this morning and said, quit listening to that crazy preacher. He's not telling you no truth. I tell you today, I'm telling you the truth. And everybody that I've ever preached to, one day when they stand before God, they're going to know I told the truth. And it's all going to be a matter of what you've done with your life in serving Him. We know we're bound in sin when we're lost. It's the old sin. Listen, people talk about this sin and that sin and all those sins. Listen, we're technically bonded by all of our sin. And many people today they're bound to the bottle, they're bound to dope, and they're bound to other things. But friend, when you get saved, Jesus can set you free. He can release you, and He will if you put your trust in Him. And then people today that don't know whether they're saved or not doing the will of God, they're bankrupt spiritually. I tell you, I venture to say probably not many of us have a lot of money in the bank, although I can say we've been blessed. And I appreciate this church. They've done so much for me, and I appreciate the way they've taken care of me. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people in this world, and I hate to say it, and I'm not judging, and I'm not saying it about this church. I'm saying, in general, churches are full of lost people who have not heeded the warning. Well, I think I got saved. Think just won't cut it. You got to know that you're saved. So we see here facing the sentence. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. In other words, it's death, and it's death in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad the preacher that I was saved at an early age with Brother Chan McMillan. Y'all know that. Brother Joe Bryant. I was surely not walking the way I should have been when he came to pastor our church. And he come after me like a hunting dog. I've told you the story, but he knocked on my front door and I went out the back door. My daddy was with him, and I didn't want to hear nothing he had to say. But a few weeks later, because of another reason, I went to church. I sure didn't go to hear him because I thought I was okay. I was doing everything fine. But I went and I sat in the pew, and that night God got a hold of my heart. And I came forward. And I confessed my sin. I talked with him about my salvation, and we both come to the conclusion. I knew that I meant it when I got saved. I knew when I got saved I didn't do it because somebody else did it. I was not influenced by anyone. In fact, the morning I got saved, I was the only one that got saved. And I knew that I was saved, but I knew my life wasn't what it ought to be. And that faithful preacher just kept on coming. Last week at 82, they put that preacher in a casket. We went to the cemetery and laid his body down. I'm glad that Brother Joe Bryant was not afraid to preach the Word of God. He said, I'm not preaching fear or for fear of favor. And he told the truth. And I attribute today where I'm at because of where he was and where he brought me to. Friend, there's a flash sign warning. It's alerting you. You got a choice. Everybody likes choices, don't they? Except when the husband and wife are trying to decide where to eat. But most people love choices, especially if it's their own choice, right? Well, you've got a choice, and it's only one good choice. People make bad choices in this life, and they pay for it for the rest of their life. But I tell you what we need to understand is it's heaven or hell. It's the savior of the devil. But in that, I'm reminded of the man that died and went to hell. The Bible said in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. Somebody said, oh, that's just a figment of the imagination, or that's just something they put in the Bible. No, ma'am, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is the word of God. And I believe when a person dies, absent from the body, is present with the Lord, or likewise, absent from the body, to be present with the devil in a place, eternity, called hell. There must be a time of personal confrontation with the Lord. Now, I want to be specific about it, but I believe if you've been saved, you'll remember the place you got saved. Now, the place doesn't save you. But I have people say, are you saved? And you say, well, yeah. And I say, well, when did you get saved? You say, well, really can't remember. I never forgot it when I got saved. And if you've really been born again, I don't think you'll never forget it. Now, just try to remember the place. Now, I'm not saying if you can remember a place that you professed, because you may still not be going to heaven. I'm talking about a place where you know that you genuinely trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cried out to Him. He saved your soul. He gave you eternal life. And that we ought to be grateful for. But what we must understand today is we need to remember the place. You don't have to remember the church. You don't have to remember the color of the carpet or the padding on the pews. Although I almost remember that. I can't remember. I don't even think we had padding on the pews when I got saved. But I remember it was right here about where we were sitting in another church, Eastside. And the preacher knelt by me and took the Bible. And we went step by step through. Showed me how to be saved. And I walked out there glorious and saved. Been saved ever since. Have I always lived right? No. Have I always been perfect? No. But I've been saved. And I know that I'm saved. Why in the world would the people not evacuate? Some people said this. They said because of Helene. Some people in Florida. Because of Helene. When Milton started coming, we got out of here. You know why? Because they had a taste. Friend, I pray today through the preaching of the Word of God that God will give us a taste of the choices we have in our life, either heaven or hell, either Jesus or Satan. A time, recall the plea. recollect the prayer. I don't say you got to remember word for word. By the way, just as long as you know you say, you remember the place, you remember crying to God. I remember praying, asking Jesus to save me. I was so proud of it. I went to school the next day and hung over the banister telling everybody I was, got saved. Some of them looked at me funny, didn't even know what I was talking about. But recollect, know the time. I remember on my knees that night, my daddy actually took me home that day. I didn't come forward that morning, and he talked to me. He wanted to be sure as a 10-year-old boy I understood. When he was convinced I did, he took me to church and that Sunday night. If I remember correctly, I walked down by myself. I had one of the sweaters on, don't have no sleeves in it, but had a long sleeve shirt on. It was brown. I don't know how I remember that. I can't even hardly remember my name half the time. But I remember what I had on. And yet I know that night that I cried out to an almighty God. And he saved my soul and gave me eternal life. I think tonight it ought to be a time of public profession. Somebody said, well, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I'm not good in front of people. Well, I'm going to tell you, he said, if you deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, I believe prayer and ask Jesus, I believe you can be saved and not be baptized. I believe you can. But I don't believe it's going to be a very pleasant life because I believe Jesus is going to chastise you for it along the way. But I believe today that if you are saved, you ought to want to be baptized because it's our way of publicly letting people know. If God has given us and began a good work in us, he'll finish it. And the way he finishes, that takes us to the place we need to be. When we get saved, we ought to share it. This is where we're failing in our churches more than ever. We're sitting here on Sunday. We're enjoying the air conditioning. We're enjoying the padded pews. And we enjoy the message every now and then. But listen, don't get on my case, preacher. I don't have time for nothing except what I do outside of this church. And I tell you today, there's people that are lost. And I believe we're going to stand before God and give an account of not giving them a warning. We must understand the truth. But not only is it public profession, it's scriptural. Jesus said, him that confessed before me and him will I confess before my Father. Listen to what Romans 10, verse 8 through 11 says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He goes on to say, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, be sure today that you fall in that category. My preacher that day, I didn't know how to pray or what to pray, and he prayed with me, and I repeated what he said. But he said, don't repeat it just to repeat it. He said, mean it and believe it in your heart. But when we get saved, it's a time of perpetual change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Our affections are changed. I guarantee you, if you get saved and born again, the things you love, the affections, the things that draw near to you, those are the things that will change in your life, is the affections that are there. Then we see your attitudes have changed. And boy, I'd say all of us need good attitudes, don't we? But yet sometimes our attitudes are not what they ought to be. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why I love the people of this world just as my Jesus did. And I tell you today, he'll love you too. And then when I got saved, and well, when I got right with God, I guess, my actions changed. I quit doing the things I used to do. That night, as a 23-year-old young man, when I got right with the Lord, I went home and I destroyed some things that I had no business having there in the first place. I got rid of them. You know why? Because I was different. And the Bible tells us if we're different, there ought to be something different in our life that people may be able to see it. Our affiliations changed. I had friends. In fact, I had a young man living with me. And I told him, I went home that night and I said, listen, I you know, as my friend, I really think a lot of you and I appreciate you living with me this time. But I said, listen, if you're going to keep doing this and this and this and this, you can't live here no more. Next day, he was packed and gone. You know why? Because he thought I was crazy. All my other friends thought I was crazy, too. There's some of you here who knew me back then, but you know me now. And you know that there's a change that's come about in my life, and I thank God for it. We have to fight the conflict. When you get saved, and I'm going to be through it in a minute. If you get saved, it's not easy. There's conflict. I've had people get saved, and they go through a trial, and they say, I don't understand why God does this. God does it to strengthen you and to help you grow in order that you might be the kind of Christian you need to be in serving Him. In Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things you would. And then we find there's the devil, the flesh, and then there's the world. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he said, now this is pretty strong language. This is what he said. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'm telling you this morning, thank God for those who heeded the warnings this past 2 weeks. I pray for the families of those that didn't. And many of them, I'm not blaming them, because like I said, I think North Carolina never thought the storm down here would do what it did up there. So their warning maybe was not quite as clear. But I'm going to tell you, anybody around here that was worried, they had plenty of time to take care of what needed to be done. And many of you heeded it, and I'm grateful. But many of the people that was down at the coast, they left the coast because they was not going to put their life and their family in a situation where they'd be destroyed. And think about this. Those that were saved and those that was lost. I'm sure there were some that were saved and they're in heaven today. But I'm sure there's some that was lost that thought they wasn't. Why, they'd been to church all their life. They'd heard everything there was to hear. They had failed to understand that Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Does he know you this morning? Oh, I know he knows who you are. He created us. But do you know this morning that he knows you in a real, intimate, personal way? Today could be the day to get it settled. Don't let pride make you sit there and refuse. We can help you if you'll come today during the invitation. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together.